In the name of Jesus, to whom we sing alleluias, Lord, you have saved us. Lord, continue to care for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. The sermon title for tonight is I'm Coming Back. And I'd like for you to take your pew Bibles so that we can look at the text that Pastor read just a moment ago, a reading from John chapter 20, especially verses 1 through 8. If you're a visitor with us tonight, and there are probably a number of visitors with us this weekend, and you don't have a Bible at home, we encourage you to take one of the Bibles as our gift to you so that you can read God's Word throughout the week. I'm coming back is what Jesus promises. You know, as I was thinking about the sermon for this evening and also for tomorrow, my mind went back to many Easters that we celebrated as young people at home. There are five of us children. I'm the oldest of the five. And one of the things that I remember as a tradition in our home is that early on Easter morning, when everybody else was asleep, my dad would get up. And he would put a record. Now, kids, a record is a big vinyl thing. Anyway, he'd put a record on the phonograph, and he would play really loud, so it went through all the house, a song that was about alleluias, just like we sang. And that was our way of waking up on Easter morning. So if some of you wonder why I am the way I am, it comes from my background a little bit. Another tradition, and we started our service with that, is one that I'd like to remind you again, where I say, He is risen, and you say, He is risen again. He is risen! He is risen indeed! Alleluia! He is risen! He is risen indeed! Alleluia! He is risen! He is risen indeed! Alleluia! What a wonderful tradition! What a great way for us to remember the heart of Easter. The heart of the Easter message, the heart of what we've been preparing for all this Lenten season. As we've prepared, we've walked the way of sorrows with our Savior. And finally, tonight, a little bit early, we peer into Easter and we remember He is risen. And for us, that makes all the difference in the world. If you were with us last night on Good Friday, you saw that cross over on this side looking very much different than it does this evening. That cross, last night on that side, was draped in black. And if you were with us last night, you may not have known or may not have remembered that you could pick up a black strip of cloth. If you didn't get one last evening, I encourage you to look at the visitor center tonight and pick one up for your Lenten display. For us, the black strip of cloth is a reminder of sorrow. It's a reminder of emptiness. It's a reminder of death and repentance. That was last night on Good Friday. And now that same cross looks very much different tonight. Tonight, it's draped in white. And tonight, as you leave, each family can take one of the white strips of cloth and add it also, I hope, to your Lenten display. I hope that that's displayed prominently in your house so that you can remember what we've been through during the season of Lent, and especially what Jesus has been through for us. And now, it's completeness. You see, the white strip of cloth on that cross and this one remind us of completeness. If the black was reminding us of sorrow and emptiness and repentance, then the white cloth is the opposite, reminding us of fullness and joy and thankfulness and life. We're reminded that Jesus is our Savior. We're reminded of the completeness of His passion for us, the completion of God's great plan of salvation for you and for me and for the whole world. We're reminded of the completion of our forgiveness. It's perfect and ready for you. In our text for tonight, that reading from John chapter 20, we hear that Mary, early in the morning, with the other women too, went to the tomb. They thought that Jesus was dead, and they were going to get his body ready for permanent burial. But when she came to the tomb, she saw that the stone had rolled away. And the Bible doesn't tell us here, but she must have looked in too and saw his body was gone. She didn't understand. And so she ran back to Peter and to John. He's the other disciple mentioned in our text for tonight. And when Peter and John heard the message of the women, they didn't know either what was going on. So they too ran to the tomb. Guess what? Peter was a little older and didn't run quite as fast as John did. So John got to the tomb first. He looked in and saw too, the Bible tells us, the strips of cloth. Those that had been around Jesus' body, those white strips of linen. And when he saw, he didn't understand. Then Peter came finally to the tomb, and he looked in, and he went inside, and then John was brave enough to go in too. And when they went into the tomb, they saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. Jesus was gone. What our text says is that when John saw, he saw and believed. What's interesting also about our text is it says that the linen strips were laying off to one side, and then the one piece, the napkin that was over Jesus' face, was folded and placed by itself, away from all the rest. I'll say more about that in just a moment. An unusual description that John spends a lot of time giving so that we know exactly what had taken place, so that we too can rejoice that Jesus is arisen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. As we've been preparing for tonight, as we've been preparing for Easter, we've walked that long season of Lent. I'm hopeful that many of you have been with us, and you probably remember the displays that we had given, those displays that were for you in your homes. Each of the weeks, we had the opportunity to concentrate on Jesus' passion. On the cross is how we began. On the second week, we were reminded of the stone and the fact that we're not very far ever away from God's love. Pastor reminded us, we're a hop, skip, and a jump away. Do you remember? A stone's throw away. God is always near and watchful and caring for us. And then the sword. In the garden where Peter had taken the sword and he thought he could defend Jesus, but Jesus didn't need any defense. What was taking place was according to God's plan. Jesus was the king. Not the earthly kind of king that they mocked, but Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was crowned so that we could be forgiven. His suffering gives for us freedom and peace and joy. And then there was the sponge. The sponge they held up when Jesus said, "I thirst." And as soon as he had said, "I thirst," he said also, "It is finished." His suffering for you and for me and for the sins of the world, it was complete. It was done. It was finished. And he gave up his spirit. And then he was buried. He was taken to the tomb, there to be for a short period of time before going to hell to produce his victory, to show his victory. See the victory banner? The victory over sin and death and the power of the devil, his victory for us, for all the world. There was a sign on the cross, that little sign that reminded the world of who he was. He was the King of the Jews. And not only the King of the Jews, but the King of all people in whose heart he is. Jesus is the King of our hearts. And because he is, because he lives, we live too. Always and forever, joyfully and free. I mentioned to you that I'd say a little bit more about the folded napkin, and it reminds me of the story, which I understand is true, of the time of the Hebrews. In Jesus' time, there was a tradition, And that tradition was this, that the table was always set wisely and carefully and well. And especially in affluent homes, in homes with wealth, there were servants who cared for the master and his family. And then when the master would sit and eat, if he was done eating, he would take his napkin, stand, and then he would wipe his mouth, probably wipe his beard and his hands. And when he was done, he would crumple his napkin and throw it onto the table. Then he would leave, and that would be a sign for the servants. Now was time. They could come in and they could remove everything, knowing that the master was finished. However, the other part of that tradition is that if the master wasn't yet done, maybe he was called away from the table, maybe there was something he needed to do, he would stand up, wipe his mouth, wipe his beard, wipe his hands, but then instead of crumpling the napkin, what he would do is carefully fold the napkin once again and place it at the table. And when he placed it at the table and set it there with his food, with the remainder of what was on his plate, it was a symbol for the servants that he was not yet done. It was a symbol, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Jesus' grave clothes, those strips of cloth, they were wadded up and they were thrown wherever they were. But the napkin on his head was folded up. It's a reminder for us, I'm coming back. My suffering is done. My sorrow is done. Your redemption is done. You are free. You are forgiven. And I am coming back again. You see, when Jesus died, he died for the sins of the whole world, so the whole world would be forgiven. But not the whole world will go to heaven, because some don't understand. Some have never believed. Some have never heard. They don't know the message of salvation. And for them, there is no forgiveness of sins. Think of it this way. Imagine that there was a man, a woman on death row in prison. And for whatever reason, the governor, or maybe it was the president, decided to have mercy on them. And they wrote a letter of forgiveness, a letter of pardon. And that letter of pardon was for that prisoner freedom. Imagine if that same prisoner would look at the pardon and say, nah, thanks, but no thanks. Throw it down and then go to the way of execution. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. No, it doesn't. But the freedom is full. And the freedom is given if only it's received. That's the way it is for all the world. When Jesus died, he died for the sins of all people of all time. Every sin, your sin and mine. And if we believe it and receive the pardon he gives, we have it and the freedom he gives. He promises, I'm coming back. One last illustration, and it may be one that you've heard, and that's the illustration of the empty Easter egg. The children tomorrow will be doing resurrection eggs. And I remember the story of a little boy whose name was Bobby. Bobby was a nice boy. He was a little boy. And Bobby had lots of learning troubles. It was hard for him to listen, hard for him to concentrate. And sometimes when his teacher, Sunday school teacher, explained things, he didn't always understand very well. The teacher decided that during the season of Lent, and especially getting ready for Easter, maybe what she could do is help them all understand a little better. So she gave all of them an empty Easter egg. The week before Easter, she had explained the story of Lent and Easter, as we've just talked about it tonight, giving them each an empty Easter egg, and asked all of the children, go home and fill the Easter egg with something that reminds you of Lent or of Easter, and when you come back, bring it and we'll see. So all the happy children in that little classroom brought their eggs back the next week. And when they were opened, some opened a piece of bread that reminded them of communion from Maundy Thursday, and some fashioned a little whip that reminded them of Jesus' sorrow, and some had a little piece of rose stem with the thorns that reminded them of the crown of thorns. And finally, when Bobby's teacher came to Bobby, she opened his egg, and it was empty. Well, she didn't want him to be embarrassed. Her heart sunk because she thought, oh, I tried to explain, but Bobby just didn't understand. It's empty. He didn't know how to fill it. And so quietly she put his egg aside, not wanting to embarrass him, and ready to go on with the rest of the lesson. And Bobby said, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You forgot about my egg. Oh, what was she going to say? How would she keep him from disappointment? What about my egg? Okay, Bobby, what about your egg? He said, it's empty. And she said, I know it's empty. Why is that good? He said, it's empty, just like the tomb was empty. Jesus is alive. I think Bobby understood the message. He knew the message of Easter, and he knew the message for himself. Because the tomb is empty, Jesus is alive. The grave clothes were on the side. The napkin was folded. Jesus is coming again. Tonight, as you leave, I encourage you to take one of the strips of white cloth. And I hope that you'll also see this as something being finished. The Master says, I'm coming again. And as you see that display, as you place it as a part of your Lenten display, may it be a reminder for you and everyone who sees it that it's done, it's finished. Your salvation and mine. And the Master says, I'm coming back, and I'm coming for you. Where I am, you will also be in a place of endless joy. That's the message of Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, in the empty tomb, and his promise, I'm coming back again for you. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen.